So without belaboring the lighthearted nature of that video, obviously convincing a lessee that their lease is terminated and it's over is easier said than done. And so that's really the point of my lead into the actual savings clauses, is to know that if you're representing a lessor, you're going to be facing an uphill battle in most instances, unless you're in an area where the lessee doesn't care, in which case you probably don't care either. So you're going to be in for a fight. And sometimes the hard part about savings clauses, as we'll talk about, is you don't always know if a lessee is relying on a particular savings clause to save a lease. You also don't know that if you're trying to lease that property away from the current lessee. So, you know, an affidavit of non-production and non-development is only as good as it is, right? I mean, you might, there might be circumstances that the lessee is aware of or thinks the lessee is aware of to maintain the lease and perpetuate it past the primary term that you're not aware of and the lessor is not aware of. So that lessor might be willing to sign an affidavit in good faith and still not do you any good if you're not aware that these savings clauses might be implicated in the particular circumstance. And so just a couple, I've sort of peppered throughout this PowerPoint presentation a few of Yogi Berra's additional quotes. He was just really, you know, a treasure of unusual ways of saying things. And so these two to sort of lead into my actual presentation. If you ask me a question I don't know, I'm not going to answer. It looks like from the way it's gone today so far, I'm not going to answer anyway. I've seen the chat and there have been a few questions on there, but obviously you're welcome to email me if anything about my presentation strikes you as having a question or something else you want to talk about. And then one time Yogi said, this is very poorly unorganized. And so I think this seminar is well organized, but quite frankly, I think this the economy, if nothing else, is very poorly unorganized right now. I'm just going to kind of very quickly go through this slide because it's a lot of what I've already talked about on the nature of a lease and why savings clauses are important. I did want to really emphasize the last bullet point on this page. And Mike Jones talked about this earlier in his speech or his presentation. He said, you know, he tells people that the most important document in oil and gas law is the lease. And I don't think you can overemphasize that fact. Here, that's true with savings clauses, and it's true with any interpretive issue of a lease in terms of deciding what the party's rights and obligations actually are. The court in Southern Royalty said, ultimately, when a lease terminates is always a question of resolving the intention of the parties from the entire instrument. And so that's easier said than done. As you know, if you've ever looked at any lease disputes and tried to decipher some of the language actually used, but in any event, that is the starting point for the analysis. Another important point is the second bullet on this slide. The plaintiff or the lessor generally bears the burden of proof that the lease has not been maintained by production, which is usually fairly simple to demonstrate, but also that the various savings clauses in the lease did not maintain the lease or are not maintaining the lease. And that one can be a little bit more slippery because, as I mentioned, the lessee doesn't usually send a letter and say, hey, I'm relying on this particular savings clause to maintain my lease. Usually you get to the end of the primary term. It may be somewhat apparent or may not be apparent at all that the lessee has done something that the lessee believes qualifies his action and his lease as triggering and implicating a savings clause to perpetuate the lease beyond the primary term. And so sometimes that lessor's burden, obviously, procedurally, it usually occurs, at least by the time you get to a lawsuit, that the lessee articulates which savings clause, either in its answer to the lawsuit or certainly in discovery, which savings provisions or savings clauses it's relying on to the extent it is. So it becomes clear on down the road, but in the early going, it's not clear sometimes. And really in the final analysis, it is still, you know, in terms of the jury issues that get submitted, it matters which party has the burden of proof because in the weighing process, I'll kind of leave that to litigators, but the jury is supposed to read the question and the question is supposed to be phrased in a way that appropriately allocates the burden of proof and requires the party that bears the burden of proof to demonstrate its position by a preponderance of the evidence. And if they haven't done that, then the default is supposed to lie with the lessee, at least with respect to lease perpetuation. As I mentioned, there's no universal list of clauses. I'm going through the ones in the categories that I have, and you're likely to see just about anything else in practice. The first big category